20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers Nation? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks, as always, for being here. Full disclosure, you're probably getting this about on Monday, June 30th. We are recording this on Monday, June 19th, because Aaron is going to be on vacation next week. I'm on vacation as you're listening to this, so just trying to get some stuff out there before we both head out on vacation. But that, of course, is the one and only Aaron Nagler. You can find him, of course, on Cheesehead TV and at Aaron Nagler on social media. Aaron, it is always a pleasure to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. You're so professional. Gosh, you're putting me to shame over. You got the plugs, you got the podcast intro. I'm just like, yo, Packers fans, what's up? And see, here's you got a whole professional intro. I'm so impressed.
I've had to get into radio mode a little radio bit more mode, from doing the radio show. Right. So I'm a little bit more ingrained in doing this stuff where it just comes a little bit more natural now. So before I just be like, that's Aaron Nagler, let's talk Packers. It's probably better the other way, but I
don't know. No. It's so perfect. I'm so impressed. So impressed.
I appreciate that a ton. It's definitely still a work in progress, but Aaron, I know that we are in the doldrums, the off season, nothing going on at the moment, which is generally a good thing. But I actually want to go back to a segment that you just had with Brian Gutekunst on Cheesehead TV a couple weeks ago. As people are listening to this, I always love it every single year. It's just the coolest thing in the world that you're able to get Brian and Matt on. I obviously want people to go out and listen to that, so don't want to spoil it in its entirety. But I want to start. There's two things I want to talk about. I want to start just in general. What was your kind of key takeaway from that conversation with Brian?
I mean, he likes the team that he has. There's zero doubt about that. Of course, we did get to talk to him right after the Jair signing, which was kind of an interesting dynamic, right? And especially with the reporting of what was eventually became a 1-year deal, and what the Packers did or didn't offer was kind of all over Twitter right before we went live. So I kind of didn't feel like I was ambushed or anything like that, but I did feel like, God, how do I ask about that? And look, I don't doubt for a moment that there are plenty of Packers fans out there who are still, as you listen to the seething that the Packers have released Jair Alexander. And it's good to hear from the man himself who makes the decisions and who is responsible for making the move, right? And his just very comfortable kind of reaction to, like, look, he just can't stay on the field. Yeah. And that's the crux of the issue. There's nothing wrong with the way he plays the game. There's nothing wrong with him as a person. It's just he can't stay on the field. And I understand Packers fans saying, well, when he is on the field, he's so good, etc. It was just nice to hear from the decision maker right after that decision kind of played out. Right.
Yep.
Outside of that, yeah, he seems to be very anxious to get the season going, as we all are. And, feels like he's got a team that can contend for a championship, which is the whole point in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It was interesting. He echoed the words that I think I've been saying since December, January, of just like, it felt like both sides needed a new direction. It felt like Green Bay needed a new defensive backfield that they felt could be out there every game. And it felt like Jair just needed a fresh coat of paint as well. And he mentioned something very similar to that of, it was going to be better for Jair just to get a fresh start somewhere. And I totally agree. I think both sides hopefully end up better off because of this, with Green Bay having a little bit more consistency in their defensive backfield, and hopefully Jair just getting a new place to play, a new bolt of energy, whatever he needs to be successful moving forward, and it can kind of work out for both sides. One of the interesting takeaways from that conversation for me, it was not necessarily a surprise, but it was just interesting nonetheless to hear him kind of say the words out loud. Aaron, I'm a pretty big believer that I think championship windows do exist, and that you need to kind of make an effort to open those as wide as you can when those opportunities are there and take advantage of it. Brian seems to vehemently disagree with that concept. Mm-hmm. We know that they've for a while now existed in the realm of, they want to get into the playoffs every single year, have that chance at it. And just by the I guess basis of being there, you are competing for a championship, because any team can get hot at the right time and go out and maybe win that championship. He said flat out, he does not believe in windows or championship windows. I would love just to kind of hear your thoughts on that. Again, maybe not super surprising to hear it from him, because it's kind of how they've operated, but your thoughts on that philosophy.
I mean, he said it before. This isn't the first time he said it, so it wasn't a surprise to me. Sure. I do think fans see it and or hear it and get a, kind of maybe not taken aback, but they don't quite understand that viewpoint. But this is what I'm referring to when I say repeatedly, often into microphones, that the Packers just operate differently. They are a very different organization to the rest of the league. And I'm not saying it's a direct result of, but it is informed by the fact that they don't have a billionaire owner, that they could, you know, face a problem if the league were to take off in a certain direction with billionaires and now private equity involved and all this stuff. It's like the Packers are always making sure that they're viable, that they're winning football games, and that they're in contention to, like you said, get to the playoffs and then hopefully get hot and go win it. You know, hell, that's the last time they did that. The last time they won a Super Bowl, that's how they did it, right? That doesn't mean that they're not trying. That doesn't mean that they're not, you know, sitting there all consumed about the idea of winning a Super Bowl, because they are. They just go about it in a different manner than, say, everyone you see talked about on ESPN or talked about on Twitter and whatever. And because of that, because it is a very kind of different mindset and a different mode of operation, Packers fans sometimes feel that they are not operating kind of on the same level, or they're not, they don't care about it as much. And they care about it probably more, because without that pursuit, without that idea of, like, we are going to win a bunch of games, we are going to make the playoffs, and we are going to have a shot at the Super Bowl, there's a chance down the line, 10, 15, 20 years from now, that maybe they don't even exist. And I know that feels like hyperbole, but no, it's not. It is not. And you don't have to look much further than the fucking pandemic come along, right? Now, I know that's a very wild example, and it's a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime kind of unprecedented time. I get that. But that is the type of thing. Who knows what might happen in the future to suddenly they're dipping into that five. Everybody talks about the $500 million reserve. Like, that can go like that. Like, that's not like this war chest that keeps them afloat for a decade plus, you know? So, and that's all very, 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 very wild, kind of out there, like, worst case scenario stuff, but it does inform how they operate. And I don't think people really understand that or appreciate that. The fact that they do make sure that they are a viable going concern for the next 20 years plus in a world where they are dealing with billionaires and now private equity and public money that they don't get. They don't get an influx of public funds in any way, shape, or form other than stock sales, which is people actually who are fans, like, contributing to them. So that's a very long-winded and probably unexpected way for me to say, yeah, I'm not surprised that Brian doesn't think in terms of windows. He thinks in terms of always fielding a contender. That's
gotta start
the
selling,
simple truth of it.
Got to start selling some Lambeau turf again, some Lambeau field in boxes. No, I'm right there with you. I want to, from the window thing, though, just to kind of go back to that for a second. Mm-hmm. There is a piece of me that kind of agreed with Goody and how they kind of operate. I guess not even Goody at the time, but going back to Ted and like, hey, we want to get into the playoffs every single year. There were 12 teams at the time, you know, six teams on each conference. Yeah. And it did feel like, okay, there is a real puncher's chance here. Even if you get in the dance, you get hot at the right time and you can go win something. It does feel even a little bit different with 14 teams instead of 12. And I do, it does feel like there are a few more teams now that are willing to go all in and try to open up this window every single year. To your point, and to be fair, these are not the ones that win it necessarily every year. We've had a dream team in Philly. The Bears win the offseason every year. The Saints are in hell right now because of some of the stuff that they've done to open this up. It doesn't work. If there were a perfect formula for doing this, every team would be doing it every single offseason, but there isn't a perfect formula. But it does feel to me like, you know, getting this, hey, we're getting into the dance. But when you have maybe three, four, five teams every year that are all in, and it might be a different five teams every year, right, it feels tough to get over that hump and actually win a Super Bowl when there are teams that are doing that. So again, I don't know that I even know the perfect question to ask here, Aaron, but it does
I get the feeling you're talking about, and I completely understand it. And it's why I've said repeatedly this offseason, and I think you heard Brian allude to it in his season-ending press conference back in January, right? When he's talking about, everyone remembers the urgency line that got glommed onto, and people were all over that all offseason.
Very much so.
But what got a bit forgotten, I was really glad Corey brought it back up in our interview with Brian yesterday, or now a few weeks ago when you're listening, the idea that he also said it's time to get back to contending for championships, you know? Well, okay, you've said that you want to contend every single year, but you've obviously fallen short of that goal. But it's very clear that the idea being, okay, playtime is over. It's time for the kids to grow up. It's been, okay, we're the youngest team in the league the last 2 years. And that is coming on the heels of making the move, turning from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. Okay, now we've had our little kind of transitional period. Now all those excuses are out the window. Not that they ever were excuses. But it is time, to your point, Andy, for, yes, to compete with those teams that do maybe go all in or spend wildly, etc., by having your young team, your young players mature and step up and now become the players that you needed them or you need them to become to compete for championships. Because, look, I remember very, very clearly being very frustrated with Ted because he wouldn't do what Brian has done as far as bringing in the Josh Jacobs of the world, the Xavier McKinney's of the world. You know, every once in a while you would get a Charles Woodson, right? Maybe a Kenny Pickett back in the day. But we know Ted was very reticent to dip his toes into those waters. I think Brian has done a very good job of augmenting his or knowing when to go outside his program and bring guys in. But now he needs his players. He needs his young guys. His core needs to grow up, and they need to produce and perform and become maybe not even superstars, but they have got to become dominant players in the league, because that's what's going to take this particular team kind of, he didn't like the term over the hump, but make them contenders. That is 100% what has to happen, whether it's Edrin Cooper becoming what he could potentially become, whether it's Jaden Reed becoming like a guy who broke Sterling Sharpe's rookie record, for God's sakes. You know, there's so much kind of, I think, weird negative energy about around Jaden at this point, because he somewhat disappeared from, you know, the stat sheet late in the year last year. And then you get the weird thing with his agent this offseason, et cetera, the drafting the two wide receivers, all that. He is a star in waiting. You know what I mean? Like, if these are the types of players that they have come to the fore. And if they do, they should contend for a Super Bowl 100%.
We'll be right back. I'm right there with you. I think that's really well said. And I'm really excited about the young core of this team. But to your point, it's going to take some of them stepping up to that level that they're capable of. But I do. The key thing is I think they're very capable of it. And that's what the Packers are certainly banking on as well. One of the main things I wanted to ask you today, because I don't know if you know this, Aaron, I am a history major. And of course, I cover the Packers full time. But I am terrible at covering the history of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know why. It just is what it is. I feel like you have a little bit better pulse than this. And I'm not necessarily asking you anything historical previously, but this is a fairly major moment in the history of the Green Bay Packers when you go from one president CEO and Mark Murphy to another and Ed Policy. There's a huge, there's a new era. It's a new regime that is taking over here. We had our first glimpse of Ed Policy being able to talk to the media and getting some key takeaways. And there were some things that were definitely run with. Now, of course, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst are on the hot seat and all these other things that were, I know. We don't even need
to. I just love that people who want them to be on the hot seat read it as, oh, they're on the hot seat. Like, because that's what you want. Like, exactly. I get it. That's how the internet works. And
I totally agree as well. But outside of that, can you kind of just walk through to some extent, like what this means for the franchise going from Mark Murphy to Ed Policy in this situation? Because again, this does feel like a very major moment for the franchise.
It's a major inflection point, right? And look, here's the truth, like the hard truth that maybe some people don't want to hear. And especially if they're LaFleur or Gutekunst fans, they could get to the end of this season. And yes, very easily, maybe Policy says this ain't it. Like that is 100% a possibility. I don't see that happening. I think it's unlikely. But to sit here and say it's impossible, that's naive, right? But as far as like Ed taking over for Mark Murphy, look, he's been in the building, so to speak, now for, you know, over a decade. They've, I don't say like, you know, farm systemed him into the position, right? Like, but it's been somewhat known, not a secret, inside the building that they were. The thought process was he's probably going to take over for Mark Murphy at some point, someday. And now he has. This is a guy who knows the ins and outs of this organization. He's not stepping in to try and change everything. He said it in the interviews that he had with the local beat. You know, he is appreciative of everything Mark did as a leader and as a mentor. And I think he is probably going to sit back and see how they perform this season. But as far as like the growth of the Green Bay Packers and where they're headed as an organization and as a franchise, what is so great is that he has been in town for so long and knows not just the organization, but the community. There's something else he highlighted in those interviews. And I think finding a partner in the city, clearly he's well known. I think he may have a bit of a different approach when it comes to his relationship with Green Bay, but we'll see how that plays out. But overall, the Packers are in a really healthy spot considering who they are, their very special place in the league, if not professional sports in general. I think they really did their homework and their work, so to speak, setting up this transition so that there won't be a big kind of, I don't know, major, I want to say catastrophe, but like changing of the guard that kind of really kind of lurches them out of the moment. I think it's going to be, not going to say imperceptible, but I don't think you're going to see much difference on the outside looking in over the course of the next 20 years. Will there be something that you think you can point to and go, oh, that is really different? Yeah, possibly. But I think because, again, Ed's been basically kind of working alongside Murphy for so long, especially taking over a lot of the responsibilities on the business side over the course of the last 2 or 3 years to prepare for this kind of moment, I just think they're in a really healthy spot. And ultimately, making sure that the Green Bay Packers are viable for the upcoming decades is your job. And I absolutely loved that he recognized, he said it in, I think it was an interview, I think I saw it in the Wilde article, but I know he talked to a bunch of different people. But the fact that he used stewardship, the idea that it is the role is to be a steward of the organization, of the fan base, etc. Like that tells me he understands the job. He understands the role because that is exactly what it is. You are not a owner. You are not even a president. You are a steward of the organization. And to me, that is a very healthy viewpoint and exactly what it's called for from the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers.
It's funny. All the key takeaways that should have been takeaways from that were not the stuff, of course, that was being talked about. The stewardship was one. Also, the fact that he said he didn't want to meddle in the day-to-day operations of Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, Russ Ball. Like his job is to obviously have those people in place and let them go do their job. And that is another huge thing that you want to hear is that he's not going to be, getting involved in draft plans or game planning or anything. Like just let those guys do their job. And then he also wanted to strengthen the bond of communication between all of those.
That was the interesting part.
That is an interesting one, but it's also like a good guiding principle to have is that like,
you want it. Yes,
exactly. Right. Where things usually break down is lack of communication, whether there is a lack of communication or a siloed feel right now, that you can read between the lines maybe there, but it's, I still think a good thing to strive for nonetheless. Everything that I wanted to hear out of him is actually stuff that I heard. And I would also argue too that, you mentioned, you have the 2 year, or he mentioned there's the 2 years left on everyone's contract and things like that. Right. You mentioned like in a year, who knows what's going to happen. I actually think this is almost like a perfect scenario where he does get this year to be in the seat and evaluate everything and actually take a holistic view and say, hi, this is my first year. I'm going to evaluate what the GM is doing, what the salary cap guru is doing, what the coach is doing, see what's broken, if anything's fixable, and if everything's going great, awesome. But it doesn't make it so that he has to make this decision right now as an incoming president of like, oh my God, do I extend these guys? Do I not? He gets to let everything play out for the next year, see how it goes, evaluate, and then make those determinations in the course of the next, however, 365 days when he wants to, rather than, again, kind of being under the gun with it.
I said this to Corey on transplants, but it is kind of interesting, like the timing of it, because you're absolutely right. He gets the season, right? He gets until next year to kind of make that call, so to speak.
Yep.
But man, what fun times for Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. Like, it's not bad enough. Like the NFL is a pressure cooker as it is, but now, you can say whatever you want. We asked Brian about it and he gave a great response, but it's like, man, there's just that little extra tick of pressure now. Like,
good.
You know that a lot of what's happening this season is going to be, going to be reflected upon by your new boss and somewhat determining your status going forward here in Green Bay.
A couple other quick ones before I get you out of here. Middle of June formats as we're looking to things to talk about the buzz now, there's some talk of
Zach Thomas.
I know. Rasheed Walker, Zach Tom potentially getting some extensions. We'll see what actually comes to fruition. But that, of course, means that Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton are busts and that they are not worthwhile draft picks in the first and second round. I don't even know what question I want to ask here, other than the fact that it seems to me, Aaron, like it's a good idea to have offensive line depth and players that can step in and play. And I'll just add on top of it, we can't tell anything in OTAs or minicamps, usually period, but certainly along the offensive line. But I've liked a lot how Jordan Morgan has looked so far. He looks a little bit bigger, stronger. He looks healthy. I'm liking everything. I, for one, am excited that Anthony Belton and Jordan Morgan are on this team and that they have some good depth along the offensive line.
The Jordan Morgan thing blows my mind. It's like, okay, yes, he got hurt. And I get that's disappointing. But did you miss the playoff game when Elgton Jenkins went down and it became an absolute nightmare up front for the Green Bay Pack? I want guys who can play. I don't care if they're starters. I don't care if they're coming off the bench. And I don't care where you pick them in the draft or how you sign them or how they arrived on that bench. I want talent. And if that dude is riding the pines and then an injury strikes and you can come in and bring him off the bench and you can still operate on offense, that's a good thing. Like, God, I swear to God, the draft industrial complex has warped the minds of an entire football generation. It drives me insane, Andy, as you can probably tell.
It's funny because it's easy to say, oh, I love how the Philadelphia Eagles build in the trenches. And then when you build
and then when you do it,
yeah, it's like, oh, there's too many guys. Like, trade Rasheed Walker. It's like, they're going to need all of these guys through the course of the season. And
that's the other component. They were beyond lucky when it came to injuries up front last year. They were very solid. Of course, it bit them at the wrong time there in the playoff game. But through the balance of the season, you don't stay that healthy. On balance, across the league, that does not happen. You cannot count on it. So what do? You get more offensive linemen, and probably the more talented ones are going to be early selections. This is a good thing.
I'm right there with you.
You got me, Andy. You got me. Well,
I'm happy. We can end at now because I got you fired up. That was my one goal of today's show. How can I get Aaron fired up? So we finally got there eventually. Let's end on a positive note. You and I will both be at training camp before we know it. Hopefully, gets here soon and we don't have to talk about crazy offseason topics. But what are you most looking forward to camp this year? What are you going to be keeping an extra eye on? And just what's your plan for camp this year?
I mean, we're just talking about it. Offensive line. I think that's what I'm going to be glued to. Everything going on up front, obviously on the defensive side as well, but I think most of the who's going to play where question marks are on defense, right? Or on offense. So that's, I'm always with the big uglies anyway, but that even more so this season. Outside of that, it is funny. I kind of joked about it earlier, but it is true. Like I go because I love football and I love the Packers and I love being there each and every day and seeing who's rising and who's falling, but I don't really have a set. This is the plan. I like to take it all in. And I do like to provide what the vibes are, like what the scene is like and who's doing what. There's no doubt about that. As far as everything I talk about, both online and on camera and Cheesehead TV, et cetera. But man, it's twofold, right? It's yes, we're finally back to football season. That's the number one best part of it. But the second part is just connecting to Packers fans, whether they are in Green Bay at camp and we're going to have a Cheesehead TV meetup and all that. Just connecting with fans, but also helping fans from around the world, like you said earlier, like who can't be there, just letting them know what's going on, what's the vibe, like who's doing what, who's had a good day, who's had a rough practice, etc. But trying to keep that all in perspective.
Yep.
But just letting folks know what's happening in Green Bay as the season kicks off. It's just, it feels like you talk about a responsibility almost for people who, especially worldwide, who are like checking in from Brazil or Germany or India or Switzerland. Like those are all spots that I hear from people on the regular at GZTV. So to me, it's just trying to be a conduit, trying to be a window into the world of the Green Bay Packers when things are getting exciting there in late July.
There's an insatiable thirst for it, especially that time of year in training camp. It's like hope springs eternal. Everyone's excited for the start of a new season, and nobody can, quench that thirst for everyone because everyone just wants more and more information. What are the safeties doing? What are the defensive line doing?
Exactly.
I think you say it perfectly of just like there's a responsibility there to try to get as much of those vibes and information out to people. And it's just a really fun time of year because, like you said, the connectivity, not only in person, not at camp, the meetups and everything like that, the connectivity between people that cover the team, the connectivity between the fans, the connectivity between, again, even just in the live chats that we do on Cheesehead TV and on Pack-A-Day. It's just a really, really special and fun time of year. One of my absolute favorite times of the year. And I cannot wait for it. And I know you do the best job covering it, Aaron, and I'll be looking forward to catching all of your ridiculous content.
I love being there. And I tell you what, I can't wait. The highlight is almost always the media party at Corey's house.
It's unbelievable.
That's a good time. Can't wait to throw a few back with you. It's going to be great.
I will definitely be there, and I will try to press the envelope to see if I can have one more old fashioned every single year until we just get to the point where I got to be
thrown out.
Exactly. So maybe this year will be the year. Now, I appreciate you a ton, Aaron. Thank you so much for everything. We'll be in touch soon. Enjoy your vacation. We'll, I'm sure, catch up in a few weeks here as both of us have some time to recharge the batteries as we get ready for training camp. Enjoy the heck out of it, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait to see you, Andy. Have a good summer.
That is Aaron Nagler. Follow him on social media at Aaron Nagler and, of course, over on CheeseheadTV.com. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.